Item 1, from the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, presenting the 2035 Regional Housing Plan for Southeastern Wisconsin. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you. And we have Ken Yunker here from the Sewer PAC presenting the 2035 Regional Housing Plan. So, Mr. Yunker, why don't you come up and we will allow you to make the presentation, and we've got the screens directed so we can all see these.
We do have hard copies of the presentation, too, if anybody would like.
Listen, is your microphone on there?
It said don't touch, so I didn't want to.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. We do have hard copies of the presentation if anybody would like a hard copy. Nobody? Okay.
Is it in color?
In color.
Yes. I would like that.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for inviting us here today to summarize the results of a multi-year study on housing that was prepared. There's a copy of the full report, extensive analysis of the housing. With me is Nancy Anderson, Chief of Community Assistance Planning for the Regional Planning Commission staff, and was Project Director for the effort, and Steve Adams, our Manager of Public Involvement and Outreach. There was extensive involvement and outreach conducted as part of the plan. The plan was guided by an advisory committee which unanimously adopted the recommendations that we will summarize for you today. One of the members of the advisory committee was a Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, Supervisor John Weishon, on the Milwaukee County Board. The vision of the plan that was adopted in the study was to provide financially sustainable housing, housing that's affordable for persons of all income levels, age groups, special needs throughout the regions. And a series of objectives, which you see listed there, were defined to assist in achieving that vision. And indeed, each recommendation that was adopted was measured against the extent to which it would achieve each of these objectives. A key analysis in the study looked at housing affordability. And it's generally accepted that a household should not have to expend more than 30% of its income on housing costs, as defined in that slide. In southeastern Wisconsin, about 36% of residents spend more than 30%, have to spend more than 30% of their income on housing. In Milwaukee County, that figure is about 40% of households. And most of these households have incomes below the median household income of the region of about $54,000, which indicates they're probably not choosing to spend more than that on housing. They have to spend that more than that on housing. Looking at the need for housing, there's a significant portion of the households, about a quarter, 24% of region households, about 187,000, that have incomes less than 50% of the median income of southeastern Wisconsin, less than 27,000. And at that income, they would find it very difficult to afford market rate housing. They have a need for subsidized housing. There's another 16% of the region's households with incomes between 50 to 80% of the median income that could afford market rate housing, and it's relatively modest multifamily housing. And there's another 24% of the region's households that have incomes in the range of $43,000 to $72,000 that can't afford single-family housing, but it's modest single-family housing on a modest-sized lot and a modest-sized starter home in the range of 1,200 to 1,400 square feet. Now, with regard to subsidized and tax credit housing, The study identified a significant unmet need, and this can be measured in a variety of different ways. There are very long waiting lists for subsidized housing. There's about 46,000 subsidized units and vouchers with 187,000 households in need of subsidized housing. Again, we identified that need of 187,000 households, only about 46,000 subsidized units. And what we show in this slide is some of the subsidized housing that's located in outlying counties, even though most subsidized housing is concentrated in the region's central cities in Milwaukee and Racine and Kenosha, some in Waukesha as well. Some of the subsidized housing exists in the lower left-hand corner is an apartment development in downtown Waukesha that was built with tax credits, and as a result, a portion of the units is set aside as subsidized housing. On the lower right-hand corner, a development in downtown Burlington in Racine County, and in the upper right-hand corner, the former Amity Leather Building, which is in the city of West Bend. One of the analyses that looked in this, and the recommendations in the study are for local government, some for state, some for federal government. And they're advisory recommendations, as are all commission recommendations. With regard to, and they looked at what is being permitted to be built throughout the region. And we looked at zoning regulations and comprehensive plans which discourage modest single-family housing. And modest single-family housing was defined as housing on a quarter-acre lot or less, about a 10,000-square-foot lot, and housing that was about 1,200 square feet or less for a single-family home. And in that map to the left, it shows those communities in blue where you cannot build on a modest-sized lot. You have to have a lot that's more than a quarter acre. In orange, where if you could have a lot like that, you can't build a modest-sized home. You can't build a home of 1,200 square feet or less. And in red, where neither could you build on such a lot, and you could not build a home of that size. On the other side, we look at the same for multifamily housing, where modest multifamily housing, looking at the cost to develop that housing and the associated rent then that would be charged, where would you be permitted to build multifamily housing of about 10 units an acre in a two-bedroom unit of 800 square feet or less. So some communities might permit multifamily housing, but it's not modest that could be afforded by someone with an income between 50 to 80% of the median income of the region. And I would note that, indeed, active on the advisory committee was the Metropolitan Builders Association, as well home builders. One of their comments throughout the study, as well as prior to the study, was there's a market in many communities with job centers for modest single-family homes, for modest multifamily housing, but they're not being permitted to meet that market, that the community zoning regulations require larger lots, larger homes, or larger multifamily units. Now, analyses under the study indicated minority population is concentrated in the region's central cities, or African American and Hispanic households. Their income is on average about 50 to 60% of the white household income. That indicates many cases, if you provided more multifamily housing and modest single-family housing in the region's outlying communities, that could assist in addressing the minority concentration which exists in the region today. Another analysis looked at job-housing balance, looking at the location of jobs in the region and what those jobs pay. Do they pay at higher income, middle income, or lower income, and looked at the kind of housing that's provided in communities. And we identified where there was a shortage of lower cost housing compared to lower wage jobs. Those are shown in blue, where there's a shortage of moderate cost, and the lower cost housing is that modest multifamily housing, 10 units an acre, a two-bedroom unit of about 800 square feet or less, a shortage of moderate cost housing compared to moderate wage jobs. That's the modest single-family housing, a quarter-acre lot or less, 10,000 square feet, and a home of about 1,200 square feet or less. And we looked at that balance of that moderate cost housing to moderate wage jobs. And in orange shows those communities which have more moderate cost, moderate wage jobs, but not a balance of moderate cost housing. And in red we show communities which have a shortage of both. That's, they've got the lower wage jobs, they've got the moderate wage jobs, but they don't have the moderate cost housing or the lower wage, lower cost housing. In many of these communities, they neither have the housing, nor do they have public transit, which reaches those jobs, so people who are unemployed or underemployed cannot reach those jobs. In many communities, they don't have the housing, and they don't have the public transit as well. And in this slide, in the light blue, we show where there is public transit, and then in that kind of salmon in red color, we show, and in deeper red as you get to more jobs where you don't have connections to jobs as well. With regard to accessible housing, the demand for accessible housing exceeds supply, and affordability is a concern because, in general, the median earnings of a person with disabilities is about half that of the region average, and that means at that income, they probably can only afford subsidized housing or modest multifamily housing. An analysis was done of the plan of what is the impact of the plan. We do this for every plan the commission prepares. What's the impact on minority and low-income populations? The conclusion in analyzing the recommendations that 44 of the 47 recommendations had positive or significantly positive impacts on minority and low-income populations. Three were neutral. None were negative. And I think for the remainder of the presentation, I'll just briefly touch on a couple of the recommendations. This is not a comprehensive list of the recommendations, and I won't go through each one. In the interest of time, I'll just point one or two out on each slide. The top recommendation was that communities with sewer, where they can provide density for modest single-family and multifamily housing, should at least have one area in their community, if not additional areas, that would provide for modest multifamily and single-family housing. And again, this is something that, it's not just a recommendation coming out of the study, but this is something that the Metropolitan Builders Association and home builders have said is a market, is a demand, which they are not being able to meet. Another recommendation, the third one, was that communities, local governments, should review their community requirements for new housing to try and identify those that perhaps could reduce cost without compromising quality. And as an example, a community will require in their land subdivision and ordinance the width of a local street that has to be provided in a residential area. In many cases, if that could be narrowed down a little bit, that's a lower cost to the developer. They're going to pass that cost on to what's the cost of the lot, what's the cost of the housing. So encouraging communities to look at that. Job housing balance, a key recommendation was that communities with a job housing imbalance, and there were many with a job housing imbalance for lower cost housing, for modest cost housing, where they have lower wage jobs, where people can only afford the lower cost housing, or moderate cost housing, where people in their community with modest, moderate wage jobs could only afford that kind of starter single family housing, that they should review their comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances to provide housing affordable to their workforce. They should also encourage, they should work to improve and expand public transit to link jobs and affordable housing. And that as well, an effort should be made to focus economic development in those areas with low and moderate income households, in particular the central cities, and that incentives should be targeted there to as well locate more jobs in those areas. Another recommendation was that the Regional Planning Commission should work with our transportation advisory committees with regard to certain types of transportation funding to consider whether communities are providing transit and whether they have a job housing balance. We've already worked with our committees, and they are considering that in the most recent selections of projects with that congestion mitigation air quality funding and surface transportation program, Milwaukee Urbanized Area Funding. We've also recommended the state should do a statewide job housing imbalance and consider that in the award of economic development incentives. And WEDA is actually working towards that. They've met with our staff to determine how did we calculate, how could they calculate on a statewide basis. They're working towards doing that. One of the recommendations, the third one down, is to develop a regional Section 8 housing voucher program, provided federal disincentives are removed. That's a recommendation of the federal government, where if communities work together to say, let's combine our vouchers and let's reduce our administration so we can put more money in vouchers. Currently, the federal government's response to that is, great, work together, reduce your administration costs. Any savings comes back to the federal government. You can't use it to provide more vouchers to meet the needs. So and HUD was involved in throughout the study, but whether this will move forward is dependent on the federal government. Certainly, in analyzing fair housing and opportunity, the conclusions were, if the other recommendations of the study are implemented, it will go a long way towards addressing fair housing and opportunity. And similarly, with regard to accessible housing and meeting the needs of persons with disabilities, if the other recommendations within the study are implemented, it will go a long way towards meeting the needs of persons with disabilities who generally have a lower income than persons without disabilities. And finally, with regard to conclusions, it's a belief of the staff, the advisory committee, which unanimously adopted the recommendations and well by the Regional Planning Commission, that if we implement these recommendations, it will support economic development by encouraging housing that's affordable to the workforce. And we're going to face, we've recently done new projections of population looking out to the year 2050 for employment and housing, and we're going to face a different situation over the next 30 to 40 years than we did over the past 30 to 40 years, where labor force grew in the region because of baby boomers entering the labor force, because of women entering the labor force in greater percentages. Women are now about at the same percentage as men. The baby boomers will, over the next, even me at some point, will be moving out of the workforce at some point over the next 30 years. And we're going to face a point, even for modest growth in employment in our region, we'll have to have in-migration of labor force and population. And companies that are looking to expand, that are looking to locate, will be looking at the issue of how affordable is the housing for their workforce. So it's a key issue for communities, particularly that have job centers, to say, to take a hard look at that issue. We'll also be addressing the problem of dilapidated and substandard housing. Why does it exist today? Because that's all people can afford. They can't afford market rate housing. You want to address the problem, you've got to address it with income, or you've got to address it by an increased focus on subsidized housing. Better meeting the need for accessible housing. The plan reinforces the need for improved and expanded public transit, and indeed, if the recommendations are implemented, they should help increase diversity in all communities in the region. So that concludes our presentation, trying to summarize that multi-year study and the recommendation. Again, not all the recommendations were presented, but I think a good summary of them.
Committee members. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Yonker, with respect to the red, orange, and particularly the red areas, were there opportunities for people or representatives in those areas to come forward? I took the advisory committee took testimony, or was the advisory committee just a working among itself?
Among themselves? We, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Supervisor, throughout the study, there was extensive public involvement and outreach. We did have public meetings and hearings in each county of the region. The advisory included the planning staff from each of the counties, so the and as well from a number of the municipalities throughout the region. I think that there's a growing understanding of the need for affordable housing. I can't recall if we had it in the summary, but you know, there's another issue that pushes communities in a direction of going for higher value housing, and that's that the principal funding source for local communities is the property tax. And indeed, communities then look to say, if we're going to locate housing, let's get the highest amount per household, you know, and not just for their needs, but in many cases for their school district as well. And I think what this study hopefully will be is, to an extent, something else for those communities to consider. And some communities understand that. I think the city of Hartford in Washington County is one where they have a large industrial park, and they realize for that industrial park, business industrial park, to be successful, they have to have a workforce that's accessible to them. And do they have higher value housing, and do they permit it in their community? Yes. But they also recognize and permit that they will need some modest single family and multifamily housing if that industrial park is to survive. And I would note as well, we did make a presentation to a committee of the Waukesha County Business Alliance. I think the recommendations were well received. I think they recognized on that, I believe it was the infrastructure committee, that they said, in fact, a couple years ago, one of the things that when they did a survey of their members, that their members indicated that a concern was that there was housing that would be affordable to workers.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You touched on it a little bit about the housing and transportation. When you talked to the other six counties, what did they talk about how they want to link the transportation to their housing and to jobs to make it work? And what's the difference between this plan, 2035 and 2050?
Well, let me start, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Supervisor. Let me start with response to the last question. And when we started this plan, we did not have our projections going out to the year 2050. Okay. This only went out to 2035. We will, at a point, update and extend this to 2050. Now, with regard to the counties and communities, I say the reaction is probably at this point similar to the reaction that the governor and state legislature had to the recommendations of the Wisconsin Transportation and Finance and Policy Commission. Where that Wisconsin Transportation Finance and Policy Commission, which was chaired by the Wisconsin DOT secretary, said, we have a problem with how we're funding public transit. We should restore the 10% cut that was made in the 2009 or 2011-13 budget. We ought to provide another 10% increase in state approximately 10% increase in state funding to address the lack of increases inflation that happened in the last 10 years. We ought to have a state transit capital program because there's no longer a federal capital program. And we ought to permit communities that have and counties that have transit systems to put in place dedicated funding. And the legislature and governor didn't act on those in this budget, but said, well, we'll do that in the next budget. So I think these recommendations have gone to those counties and communities. I think they've acknowledged that, yeah, we don't have transit to connect to jobs. Under the current funding system, we won't need to, but they're not taking any action to do it at this time.
Have they vocalized that they need those issues, the funding source, in the resolution? Even our resolution is coming up next, don't mention that. Mm-hmm.
I believe where this will change will be as the economy picks up. And we've seen that with other counties, that when the economy picks up and they need workers, their employers are saying, if we're to stay there, if we're to expand, we're going to need labor force, that then the issue of transit will start to pick up. I think there's some indications of that, but not at this point. But I think that is a key recommendation within this plan. So I think if you endorse the plan, you're endorsing the need to expand, improve and expand public transit to link to those jobs as noted on that slide.
Thank you.
Any members, what's your pleasure? We do have a resolution before us. Supervisor Rain?
No. We don't do
that. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Yunker, it's always good to see you. I understand that this study applies to the entire southeastern Wisconsin region. Are there any recommendations that apply specifically to Milwaukee County?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Supervisor, I don't believe there are specific recommendations to Milwaukee County. There's anything where it targets out Milwaukee County. There are recommendations to local communities that are sewered that have zoning and subdivision regulations. I would say the recommendations that would apply to the county would include to work towards improving and expanding public transit. Clearly, that's something that the county board has been trying to do.
Yes.
And has been limited based upon both the state funding that you receive and the fact that the state has not responded to an advisory referendum that passed in Milwaukee County in November a couple of years ago that indicated an approval of dedicated funding for transit.
We do have a Supervisor Johnson.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the resolution. For this particular,
we're not on it.
Oh, no, we're not on it right now. Oh, that's two. Okay. I see.
It is the second item. That's why don't we call the second item as long as we're on the same issue? Madam Clerk, please call item two and we'll continue to discuss